I'd like you to turn tonight to that first verse of Ephesians chapter 2, this well-known verse, and really this will be the focus of our thinking tonight. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And perhaps we'll also look briefly at verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, brought to life. That's our subject tonight. Brought to life. This is one of those remarkable statements of the Apostle Paul. When you think about it, you think its significance. You see what he's getting at. This is remarkable. You were dead. Dead. You had no life. You Ephesians. The Lord Jesus Christ raised you up. You were dead in your sin. You had no spiritual life. And God did something. Not you. God did something. You were desperate. You were lost in your sins. You had no hope. You were without Christ. You had no life. You were existing. But you had no life. But God did something for you. He's speaking to Christians. He's showing the enormous difference between somebody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and has been saved, and they trust in him for all eternity, and their sins have been forgiven, and life has sprung forth. And everybody else who has no life, they're dead. They're like a corpse. They're just physical. They're in sin. There's no hope. What a desperate situation to be in. And yet Paul says, and you, this chapter, it's been called the chapter of the Bible that most clearly and powerfully explains man's desperate need, man's only hope, and God's eternal plan to save. You see, there was only ever one salvation, only ever one hope. That's why this message is so simple. We don't have 52 messages to explain. Every week I have one message. There is one hope for your dead soul. That one hope that your dead soul can come to life, and that only hope is Jesus Christ. And you need to look to him. You need to call out to him. If you're struggling tonight in life, if you're struggling with no hope, if you're desperate in your soul, you need to look to Jesus Christ. Well, I want to cover three things tonight. The first thing we learn in this wonderful verse is about the who. The who. What's this message all about? And you hath he quickened. If you look carefully, there's three words in italics in our authorized version. It's the same in the New King James. Those words are not there in the Greek original, but they are there in verse 5, and what our translators do very helpfully is they put them at the front so that we understand the whole argument. They are there, but they're just in a different order. And you hath he. He. You see, that's where people go wrong with religion. That's where they go wrong with Christianity. They think Christianity is about getting your life straight. They think Christianity is about doing something. They think religion is something that you go to, something that you perform, something that you act, a ritual, a prayer, something that you do. But this verse gives us the complete opposite. Do you know Christianity is about something that God has done, something that only he can do, something remarkable, something unique, And you hath he quickened. This is about God's activity. It's about an activity that he's already done. It's about an activity that is efficacious, effective for all those that will come to him. It's not about your activity or mine. It's not about going to a place. It's not about saying something, turning over a new leaf, or anything of that sort. This is about God. In the beginning, God. The first few words of the Bible, that's where we go wrong. You see, we think religion is about us. That person is a religious person. No, it's the complete opposite. The more we try, the more we do, the more we pretend, the more we act, the harder it becomes, because we start to rely upon ourselves. What we need to do is stop, and we need to see that God must do something to us and in us, and by the Lord Jesus Christ, bring us to life. You see, the modern view, the humanistic view, this is what we're taught in schools. It says things like this. You see, the problems of the world, they're not so great. Give a bit more time and a bit more education and maybe a bit more government spending and we can fix the problems. Mental health problems, we can fix those. The problems of family, we can fix those. Just educate people a bit more. I don't know how that works when the government's gradually, systematically destroying the family. How can we solve our problems? You see, the problems are made by us. All our problems are influenced by our choices and our decisions, what we think and what we say and what we do. You see, the humanistic idea of life is totally opposite. We need to cry out to God. We can't solve our problems. If you have problems tonight, and many do, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this verse describes you as being dead, lifeless, lifeless. You see, there are great problems in the world. Did you know that 50% of the wealth in the world is owned by 1% of the people? Massive inequality, the greed of 1%, the great problem of dissatisfaction of life. You speak to people, are you happy with your life? Are you happy where you're going? Have you really got peace and joy and the knowledge that you're going somewhere in life that's certain? The majority of people don't. They're dissatisfied. They're unhappy, deeply unhappy inside, and they're yearning. They're looking. They're seeking. They're searching. They can't find it because the problem is they're dead. They're lifeless. And until God does something in each of our lives, we won't know life. We won't know what it is to live. You think of all the illnesses of body and mind. I doubt there's hardly anybody here tonight that doesn't have some form of pain, some form of irritation, some form of illness in some department of their life. That's the world that we live in. It says here, we're dead in trespasses and sins. That word trespass means to swerve. Here's the path. It's a straight path. It leads to life. It leads to heaven. But we keep falling off it. We're like a train that keeps coming off the tracks, keeps hitting the points and coming off, swerving to one side from a straight path, coming off. That's trespasses. And the word sin means to completely miss the mark. Here's the mark. It's a high, holy, perfect mark. that God has set for all of humanity. And here's me, down on the floor, missing the mark by a mile. I don't get anywhere near. And Paul puts these two words together. He doesn't often do that. Swerving from the straight path, missing the mark, and that's me. That describes my life. No wonder I'm dead before I come to Christ. No wonder the Bible tells me my situation is not just half dead, not just dying, not sick, dead. It's strong, isn't it? Do we have dead people here tonight? Dead in sins and trespasses? Without hope? Without Christ? Paul goes on to say in this chapter, God must do something. But the wonderful thing is that God has. God has done something. If you have a Bible with you, turn back to chapter 1. And we see the whole drift of Paul's argument, and he says this in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Oh, praise be to God. I don't have to be dead. I don't have to stay in my sin and live in a lifeless corpse. I can be lifted up. I can be supremely blessed. I can live a life of joy and satisfaction and the pleasure that God gives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God that sent his only Son. It says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's what I need. I don't need food. I don't need water. I do for a day. But what I need for eternity is spiritual blessings. I need my soul to come to life. I need to have a relationship with God. I need to pray to him. I need to have my guilt taken away, my sin washed. And if only tonight you knew what that was. If there's someone here tonight desperate, dead in trespasses and sins, if only you knew what it was like to have life pulsing through your body, spiritual body, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's good to have blessings on earth, that's good, but how much better to have blessings in heaven, eternally, unchangeably. Blessings that can never be taken away. How do they come? In Christ. That's Paul's argument at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. We need to stop trying. We need to stop thinking we can save ourselves. Stop thinking that we can do something, and we need to call out to God and ask for him to do a remarkable work, a life-giving work. He needs to breathe life into our dead souls. Well, let's think about this analogy. He's saying we're dead. What does it mean to be dead? You see, it's the opposite of what this world says. The world says, we're getting there like British Rail. It says, every little helps, just a bit more, everything in moderation. Oh, the world has got no idea. You see, our great need is we need a total change. There is no life, and we need life. And so the Lord Jesus says, you're dead. You've got no spiritual life. What does that mean? It means I don't pray to God. When in the Garden of Eden we were walking with Adam and Eve in our mind's eye, they were speaking to God, communing with God. There was a relationship. You know what relationships are like. When they're sweet, when they're close, the relationship between a mother and a father, a husband and a wife, a mother and a daughter, a son and a father when they're good. Oh, what a blessing. The friendship of two people that have great respect and care for each other. What a blessing that is. But when we're in communion with God, that's spiritual life. And when you don't know Him, when you're dead in your sins, you don't have that life. And just like a dead corpse, it's getting worse. When you're a dead body, like some are here tonight, the body decomposes. The smell gets worse. The decomposing state of our life is felt and smelt within families, causing great unhappiness. And it leaves a terrible stench. What a contrast to a Christian life, where God says Himself that life is like a sweet-smelling savor, a fragrance arising. In olden times, in the Old Testament, there was incense being burned, and God was pleased. That's the picture of what He wants from our lives. He wants a good life. He wants a life that's pleasing to Him. And my life and your life, when we're dead, it's like a decomposing body, causing great unhappiness. And you know what they do with dead bodies? They put them away, cut off in a morgue, outside the city wall in olden times, where the body decomposed quickly. That's what happens to us when we're dead. We're cut off from God. We're very often cut off from other people because we don't have anything in common with other Christians. We're different. We don't understand what they understand. We don't pray like they pray. We don't have desires and priorities like they have. And when you're dead, you exist. You can poke a dead body. You're there. Your molecules, cells, bone. But you're not living. There's not life. You touch the body. I don't think we should ever do that. But you touch a body in imagination terms and nothing happens. It's lifeless. No spiritual life. And a dead body has no blessing from God, no smile. God wants to pour blessings into your life. He wants to give you joy and happiness. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to be a help to you and so that you can be a help to others. But when you're dead, you're so limited. Without Christ, the one that gives life, the one that is life, the one that brings life, the one that said, I am come that you might have life, spiritual life, eternal life, everlasting life, and have it more abundantly. Am I speaking to someone tonight? In your heart and mind, you think, I don't have that life. I'm just like an animal. I have impulses and emotions and I have appetites and I have desires and I respond to them, some of them bad desires. But if only I had new life and my desires were good desires and my impulses and priorities were what God wanted of my life. Oh, we're dead because we don't know Jesus Christ. But look at what God does. Thirdly tonight, look about what God does. You hath He quickened, brought to life. I never knew what that word meant. Children, if you look at your hands, on your fingers, you have that little bit of white bit on the nail. Most of your nail is dead. But the bit nearest the skin, at the top of the finger, for most of us, like a sort of semicircle, a half moon, that's the quick. It's the living bit. The rest of your nail is dying. You hath he quickened. He's brought it to life. There's new life flowing through your spiritual veins. You're no longer dead. You feel your sin. You've been awakened. You know Jesus Christ. You desire him. You love him. You desire to be in heaven with him. Is that true of you? Is there somebody tonight? Maybe you've already come to life. Maybe he's already quickened you, but you don't yet know it. You don't have the assurance. You don't yet have the evidence. Because all your faith has not yet been put in Jesus Christ. Paul describes in verse 2, this is what you were like. Once upon a time, it wasn't a fairy tale, it was true. Once you walked according to the course of this world, you were swept along according to the prince of the power of the air, feeding thoughts into your mind, telling you what to do, telling you to do evil things, things that God says, no, don't go there, don't touch that. Don't say that. Your view of your life, your view of the life at large is different. You're driven by the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. Satan gets into our thoughts. He drives us. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, that's what they were like in Ephesus, worshipping shrines, making idols, an idol factory. That's what Ephesus was. They were making idols day after day. And they made lots of money out of it. And that describes so many of the Christians in the church at Ephesus. They were driven by satanic forces. But God has quickened. Brought you to life. You suddenly saw, what am I doing in this world? How am I living? Look at my direction. I'm going down, down, down. I'm becoming an addict to my desires and lusts. And it's getting worse. I'm decomposing. I'm losing my sensitivities, losing my feelings. Once I knew what I was doing was wrong. Now I don't care. Once I sinned and I didn't really mean to. Now I plan to sin. I organize it. I find times where I can be on my own and those thoughts, I allow them to come in. I don't stop them. Instead of turning to Christ, I allow myself to be dead in sin. But this word quickened, this is what it means. It says it in verse 5. Quickened us together with Christ. It's literally a word which is a combination of two words. It means to make alive together. You can't do it on your own. You can't make yourself alive. You can't make yourself a Christian. You can't earn a place in heaven. But Christ can, and Christ has. And with him, he can make you alive together. You've got to be willing. You've got to cry out. You've got to desire it. But he can do it. If you desire, if you say, come this night into my heart, quicken my heart, bring me that life that I've never known, I've never felt. For by grace are ye saved. Let's look at verse 4, just touch on it before we close. It's another one of those interjections. But, here was me dead, hopeless without Christ. My life seemed like it wasn't worth living. But God, who's rich in mercy, he saw me in my sin. He was grieved. And he's so full of mercy. He came and showed me himself. Maybe through reading the Word of God, maybe through a sermon, through a Sunday school lesson, through somebody witnessing, through my conscience and heart. God revealed Himself. God who for His great love, that word is a superlative, great, you can't put it in numbers. You can hardly put it in words. God's great love wherewith He loved us. It's a double. He loved us so much, He had to love us more, and He carries on loving us, and He calls us and draws us, and He pleads with us, and He says, "You're dead, come to me for life, and I will give you that life." But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, I didn't deserve that love. I didn't even look to Him, but He awakened my heart. Showed me my need. I felt convicted of my sin. I saw my lost state and condition. I saw I was a hell-bound sinner. But God poured mercy into my life. And I saw Jesus Christ dying for me. For me? A lost sinner. And He died. And He rose again. And what does He do to us? He says that we can be risen with Him. We once walked in this world. We once had our conversation, our behavior, our lusts, our desires. It occupied our mind, it occupied our heart. But verse 6, He's raised us up together again. He comes and makes you willing. He comes and gives you a desire. And together, God gives you new life. You call out to Him, and He gives that life that we don't have. And He raises us up. We're on the ground, on the floor. And He lifts us up to heavenly places, above this passing world, above this deathly world, above this hopeless world. And He gives us Jesus Christ, abundant life. And He gives us that life freely through His grace, through His mercy, because of His life. What about you tonight, my friend? Is there someone here who in the verse that we're about to sing, verse 5 of our final hymn, does this describe you? Lord, I was dead. I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to Thee. I couldn't do it on my own. But now, since Thou hast quickened me, brought me to life, stirred my soul, helped me to see that need, awakened me, and made me call out to Jesus Christ. But now, since Thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. I'm in a tomb, and there's a stone rolled over it, and I can't get out. And Jesus Christ comes. He rolls away the stone, and I can walk out willingly. I'm no longer trapped. I'm no longer in trespasses and sins. He frees me. He gives me liberty. He gives me a new life. Oh, is this you tonight? Call out to Jesus Christ. Pray to Him. If you don't have the faith, ask Him for the faith to believe. And He will hear everyone. I was blind. I was deaf. I was dumb. I was dead. These are pictures of what we're like. But Thou hast made the blind to see, the dead to live. That's what we need tonight. New life in Jesus Christ. You has He brought to life who were once dead in trespasses and sins. Call out to Him tonight as never before. Don't let another day go by without seeking the life that He alone can give. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come and pray that new life will be given tonight to someone that pleads, to someone that's desperate, to someone that comes to an end of their self and comes to their senses and sees this vain passing world will never satisfy, but Jesus Christ will be our all in all. Oh, help us and bless us now. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake.